Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker with Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And I'm out at Malvern Retreat House today. It's November 11th, 2022, Veterans Day. But the reason I'm here is I will be interviewing shortly, Jeanette and Jack Williams. And I'm sure all of you have heard of them. Jeanette is the founder and president of Women of Grace, and Jack is general manager of EWTN Radio. I did ask them, and they kindly and graciously said yes. They're doing a retreat out here at Malvern, beautiful Malvern, and the retreat for married couples, and the theme is God made them male and female. So welcome, Jeanette, for coming and meeting with me, Dave Parker, and Jack. Okay.
It's lovely to be with you.
It's our pleasure. The spirit of the Delaware Valley today is weepy.
Yes,
it's raining.
Very weepy.
We're getting the remnants of whatever they called this tropical storm, Nicole.
Nicole.
The remnants of Nicole have made their way to the Delaware Valley.
Truly.
And I was wondering if, you probably traveled yesterday, flew up.
We did.
And it was sunny and beautiful. And then, did you bring this with you?
It's going to be nice tomorrow.
It's
going to be sunny and 72 tomorrow.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Yeah,
everybody listening will remember how beautiful it was.
Yeah, this is a quick hitter, so yay. But we need the rain. We need the rain. So down to kind of brass tacks, you're here for this retreat. And I know, Jeanette, you've been here, and Jack, you've been here before for retreats. Is this an annual thing for you? Is this your annual retreat? Or do you have other retreats that you come to?
Well, we have been putting on Women of Grace retreats here at Malvern for many, many years now. I think it's been somewhere around 14 years we've been coming here. But when Jack and I were married, we were invited by Malvern to come and do a marriage retreat. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is year four.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, we think it's year four that we did that. And it's always a wonderful opportunity to meet with other couples who are striving to live their Catholic faith in today's world, and to be a sign and a witness to that faith through their sacrament of matrimony.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. So I was kind of captivated, or not kind of, I was captivated, especially in this milieu of secularism and all those things that we, a Catholic radio, if I can say it that way, Holy Spirit Radio. I'll just ask you, what are your main or core themes that you're going to talk about? And have you embedded into this retreat?
This particular time, these things kind of come together, pretty close to the time of the event for us, depending upon what's going on. And, we're all in a battle. You don't have to look around very long to find something to offend your Catholic sensibilities in our culture today. And, in every day and time, whether it's America and in every place, every day and time in every place, we've been in a battle since the Garden of Eden.
Absolutely.
And we're going to start in the Garden of Eden this weekend.
Uh-huh.
We're actually going to start before the Garden of Eden this weekend.
Interesting.
But we're in a battle now that, because of the events that transpired there, not only does nobody get out alive, but nobody gets out without being wounded.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us is going to be a casualty on some level. And we just want to sort of, as you'll understand from your military days and medical services, we want to be sort of a triage and treatment facility, at least for a couple days, for people that are out there.
I love that.
In the
Thank
battle.
You. Yes.
Yeah, and it's very true. But I do want to go back to what you mentioned, Dave, in that we are living in very contentious times, and this attack against and violation against the human person is front and center. We cannot escape it because it's in our face, and we're experiencing it on so many levels. And I think it's very important to take an opportunity to talk about the sacrament of matrimony in light of what we're facing with transgenderism and with what I will call an abuse of the sacrament, an abuse of the institution, maybe better said, the institution of marriage. And so we will speak to that, but it'll be a kind of in a tangential way, because what we really want to do is to edify and build up the individuals who are coming, mm-hmm. and their sacrament of matrimony, and talking about what it is that's expected of us by way of that sacrament. And I don't think that we often connect to the sacrament the fact that there is a call and a mission mm-hmm. that we have as married couples. And this is why God raised and elevated this union of man and women to a sacrament, mm-hmm. because we need wow. the graces to be that sign and witness of who we're called to point to through our sacrament. And that really is to Christ and his church, to Christ and his bride. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk a little bit about that. And we want to talk a little bit about that universal call to holiness and how it is that we begin to live out that sacrament in a day and time that is desperate to see the reality of it.
Yeah, very desperate. Very really desperate. Well, thank you.
You know, really the end goal of the whole reason for marriage at the end of the day, you know, civilly, in civil society, it's to provide a platform for taking care of the offspring that come from that union. But sacramentally, our primary mission is to get each other to heaven.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to try to help equip them to do over the course of the weekend. And we're going to talk about where we came from, as I mentioned earlier. And then we're also going to talk about, as John had just mentioned, everyone's personal call to holiness, because the surest way to help get your partner to heaven and to help their sanctity and their holiness is to be striving after sanctity and holiness yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Jack. And yeah. And I don't know what else to add to that. I did think of something like you said, the couples that are coming. Is there a certain average number of couples who come to these retreats? I mean, is it going to be a full house, so to speak, this weekend? Or I do a lot of PSAs, and I do most of them, in fact. And I did one for this. Mm-hmm. But in the past, I would say, oh, you know, Jeanette's going to be up at Malvern. And I would hear you on National talking, mm-hmm. you know, hey, and yes. inviting the folks, the women to come.
Right.
And so are your retreats very full? Usually,
I would say that we're generally,
well, it's hard to gauge for this particular retreat because right. for the first 3 years of it, this being the fourth year, for the first 3 years of it, we were basically in the throes of COVID.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so, you know, that has impacted, right. you know, and we're probably 75% of capacity, mm-hmm. maybe a little more than that, 75 or 80% of capacity for this particular event. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these we're technically out of COVID, if you listen to some of our civil leaders. But that being said, we're still feeling the effects of COVID. And there are some people yes. that, quite frankly, have, you know, chosen to be afraid.
Yeah, they have. There are some folks that are yeah. still very leery or wary about that. And some are the opposite of that. And no, it's like back to normal for them.
But all things considered, I think it's a good turnout. And,
yes, please.
And I would expect that maybe next year, if we had the grace of coming back again, we would probably be, I would think, based on for an event like this in this particular part of the facility, you know, we really could only accommodate, you know, a few
Seven
more couples. And so yeah. I think we would probably be at a capacity situation.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that's been so beautiful, Dave, about these retreats in the past that Jack and I have done for married couples is the fact that it's an intimate group. And it's lovely to watch how these couples bond together. Some of them, you know, are located not a great distance from each other. And we're hoping that there are holy friendships that form between the couples, you know, because we all need to have that edification and that constant encouragement to live that sacrament according to the mind and heart of God. And I think one way that we do that is by surrounding ourselves with like-minded individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So the intimacy that develops, I think, is yes. a very beautiful thing to watch transpire.
It is. And the participants really run the gamut. I mean, just last year mm-hmm. we had a couple in their early 20s that had not been married a year yet.
Right.
And we had
some young parents.
We had some young parents. We had some couples in their 80s that had been married over 50 years. And we had a couple in their 80s that had been married only a couple of years.
Yes, wow. True, yeah.
That is running the gamut.
And that is a lovely thing, too, because I think that oftentimes these younger couples hear from these older couples who obviously, we hope, have gained some wisdom through those years together, right?
Exactly.
And it's a beautiful mentoring that goes on. And so we've really appreciated it and admired that. Jack and I, at the time that we were married, had 53 years of marriage between us, if you add up Jack's years with Susie and my years with Anthony, was 53 years. But even to this moment, we're only married 4.5 years. We did bring, I think, a lot of good wisdom and knowledge and understanding about what married life is like to our sacrament.
I already knew how to pick up my socks.
And he does a very good job.
Keep up the good work, Jack.
Yes, that's right.
Actually, the way I make that happen is that I don't wear socks.
You don't wear socks.
He does most days, Frank. Yeah. I just want to say, right at the moment, he doesn't have any. But then neither do I. But aside from all of that, the fact of the matter is, you know, we are learning each other. We're still in that process of learning each other. I think we've got a decent handle on it. But there are still surprises that come in married life.
Oh, absolutely.
Lovely to experience. And then it's our opportunity to grow in holiness.
Well, I want to circle back to, you know, the number of couples, and the thought occurred to me, well, it's not the quantity, it's the couples that are, when they come here, that they're telling each other, we need something in our marriage, we need some more work, or however you want to characterize it, you know, like, I want to grow with you more, this may help us.
That's
so true. It's a quality thing. Is my point.
It is true. And, you know, Jack, you often make the illustration, a comparison, if you will, between what it takes for a man to become a priest versus to go into this vocation.
Yeah. And, you know, just by, you know, God is a God of order. And it just makes sense that if you had this group of humans, in order for this group of humans to continue forward, the overwhelming majority of them would probably be called by him to be in a relationship that would bring forth biological life so as to continue the species, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. So many more people are going to be called to marriage than any other vocation. But you look at a person who's called to the priesthood, and, you know, it's a bare minimum of 8 years of formation, usually more like a dozen years of formation. And in our culture in America today, even if you're getting married in the church, I mean, what is it? A couple meetings with the pastor and a weekend retreat? I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know,
for that formation to take place.
For that formation, right. Yeah. So something that is meant to be as long as you know, one of the persons remains alive, while the couple remains alive, right? Until death has to part. This is your vocation in life, right? And the same with priesthood, but there's so little preparation for marriage. And I think that there's a reason. I'm glad you mentioned, like, given our culture, because the fact of the matter is, I think that the church depended upon the good modeling that young people would receive from their parents' marriage and from the greater and broader community. Mm-hmm. And I'm old enough to remember a time when you could not get a divorce without the judge finding grounds for a divorce. Mm-hmm. And divorce was oftentimes not granted by the state, right? Mm-hmm. But in 1973, the law changed and it became no-fault divorce. And so now we have temporary situations for an institution that is meant to be a lifetime. And so the modeling has dissipated, and yet the formation for that sacrament has not increased. And I think that needs to be looked at, because the modeling for marriages today, how many individuals enter into numbers of marriages, serial marriages, right? And with basically, I think, culturally set up for that in a number of ways, which we don't have time to get into. But the fact of the matter is, we don't have that modeling. So young people cannot look to stable marriages and gain from them almost intuitively what it takes to make marriage work.
Yeah, we need to get back to a place where we're putting more into the marriage than we're putting into the wedding.
That's right. And to your point, I like Dave, mm-hmm. to your point, this is why I think that marriage retreats are, I think, have always been important. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know that we've seen much with regard to marriage retreats historically in the church until after the advent of no-fault divorces. Mm-hmm. So it was then that marriage encounter came. It was then that retrovi came. Mm-hmm. These means to help remediate, marriage encounter to nourish, and retrovi to remediate mm-hmm. a marriage that's struggling. Mm-hmm. But you make a point in that the people that come to these retreats are people that are serious about their mm-hmm. sacrament and want to nourish it mm-hmm. because we're facing headwinds with regard to the sacrament in our culture.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you. So at the end of the day on Sunday, is the retreat ends?
Sunday morning.
From the being the leaders of this, what are you looking for? What's your end state, if you will, from maybe a military term?
I like that.
Well, we hope that the folks that are here this weekend will be better equipped and better willing to live their vocation of marriage out in the world in such a way as to inspire other people to want to do the same.
Yeah, and if I might add a comment to that too, even though Jack and I present these retreats, we're also on retreat. You know,
I was thinking that as I drove out, I'm thinking, well, they're here too. I mean, this is time away. They need some time off, and it's a retreat for them.
It's a retreat for us, and we always grow by the witness and the example of those who come. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we leave here feeling like we've had a booster shot, you know, mm-hmm. and it's very, very helpful for us. Yeah. And so I'm always grateful for the participation of those who come.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, at the outset, I did not kind of delve into all that you do, Johnette. But if you want to tell our listeners, remind our listeners how they can connect with you, well, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. on radio, mm-hmm. and then on EWTN-TV, what are the hours?
Yes, we're on Monday through Friday at
Women
1
of Grace.
p.m.
Yes.
Women of Grace is on. It's Women of Grace and Women of Grace Live. Live is the radio. And that is, as you say, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. And television is at 1 p.m. Eastern, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday.
Okay.
We always have fantastic guests that come on the program. And I just love Radio Day. Mm-hmm. Radio is very unique and it's very special.
I can tell. Yeah, it is. I'm not just saying that. It's apparent. And I don't know, Jack, if you remember when you visited Holy Spirit Radio and the first time I met you, we were in our little lunchroom, and not too long before that, because I was driving to the station between 11 and 12 to work like 4 hours in the after 5 hours in the afternoon. But you had this one caller, Johnette, that she was so distraught, and what you did and how you helped her. I mean, I was almost in tears. Mm-hmm. I get goosebumps now thinking of how you helped her, and then you had everybody pray for her. I can't remember the name or whatever or the particular situation, but wow, I just I was blown away, and I remember that to this day, and how helpful you are.
Oh, God,
through
so
radio.
Yeah. Well, our God is good. You know, you give fiat and the Holy Spirit comes and fertilizes that fiat, mm-hmm. and divine life happens. And I think I remember the call that you're talking about. It's a woman who had just been released from a psychiatric hospital, and she was going for her first meeting with a psychologist following, and she was terrified that they were going to put her back in the psychiatric unit. And she was in a state of anxiety and could not get out of the car. Yeah, so we talked her out of the car, and the program ended, and I was still with her, and I said, I'm not leaving you. I will stay with you after the program's off the air. And I stayed, and it was the psychologist who said to me, I have her. She's okay now. I said, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And then I felt free to hang up. I delivered her to safe harbor and to safe hands there, I felt. Yeah.
So, oh, you did?
Yeah. But I also want to just invite women out there, Dave, to become more involved with Women of Grace. You know, we have this international apostolate for women. We have a foundational study. It goes on in this area as well as I say, through multiple countries. And we very, very much would love to have any of you ladies listening to join us for this foundational study. It's really quite amazing, and it transforms lives. And we have great testimonies on how it saved marriages.
And where can they find more about that, John?
Well, thank you, Jack, for asking that important question. They can go out.
Thanks, Jack.
They can go out to womenofgrace.com. Yeah. He's always helping me along here. Know.
Well, I was going to ask Jack too. At 3 o'clock Monday through Friday, are you?
I'm the facilitator.
You're the facilitator. And oftentimes I hear you at the 2 o'clock hour when Tom Price...
When Tom Price is off lollygagging around doing Lord knows what he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Tom Price.
And helping that Dr. David Anders. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, wonderful show.
Well, I like to say Jack is the thread that ties all of those open lines Monday through Friday together. He's the constant
open line
in the mix.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be there.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Johnette and Jack Williams, coming on the Spirit of the Delaware Valley with me, Dave Parker. So I just want to thank our listeners. And again, I will let you two know when this will air.
Listening right now will know when it was on because they're listening.
Yeah. So this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you for everything, and continue to listen to Spirit of the Delaware Valley and Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and 1420 in WCOJ in Coatesville and Chester County. So thank you, and talk to you later. My next guests are Deacon Bob.
Hello, everybody.
Deb Gallagher.
Hi.
And Renee Serby.
Hello.
Hello. Well, welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. Is this your first time at the radio station?
Absolutely. Wonderful.
It is for me. Me three.
Okay. Thank you. And why I asked these three wonderful folks to come on board is we're going to be talking about an event that's happening at St. Ignatius Catholic Church in Yardley, Pennsylvania. And it's going to happen on December 2nd, 2022. And it's a healing mass.
Absolutely right.
So, but before we get going, I'm going to ask Deacon Bob to read the St. Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit, as I like to start my shows with.
So. Sure. Sure. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work, too, may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I may always be holy. Amen.
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 In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, again, thank you, all three of you, for coming up on this cold, blustery day. I guess it's a prelude to winter. We're in a cold snap. But Deacon Bob, thank you for coming up. And I understand that you are and have been instrumental in the St. Ignatius Charismatic Prayer Group for quite some time.
Yeah, I go back pretty far.
Okay.
Actually, it was the early 70s, 72, when I first got involved in the Charismatic Renewal, when it was really just beginning in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Brother Pankey, as you probably know, was instrumental in bringing the Charismatic Renewal to the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. And so I got involved in it before the time when charismatic prayer groups were broken up into various parishes. They were just located sporadically around the archdiocese, and so they were rather large. You would go to a charismatic prayer meeting, and there'd be 100, maybe 200 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful experience. But then after that, as time went on, as we got more maturity, and as the numbers grew, then we were able to spread the prayer groups into the various parishes. And so it wasn't too long before we had one started at St. Ignatius. And mm-hmm. so it's been, I would say, 50 years.
Well, excellent. Thank you. But just the formation of a charismatic renewal movement or group, did that emanate here in the Archdiocese, or that came out of Rome? Did it come out of the church?
Well, yeah. In the United States, I think it was a college campus where a group of college students decided that, you know, if this is what the scripture says the church is like, why aren't we experiencing it? And so they prayed for a renewal, another falling, another Pentecost, and it happened to them. And then it just spread and went all across the country like fire because, mm-hmm. you know, when the Holy Spirit moves, things happen. Right.
Absolutely. And, well, it makes me think about, I was a Lutheran, I'm a convert in the mm-hmm. 70s, but I had heard about the charismatic movement, not just in the Catholic Church, but in our, you know, separated brothers and sisters
Absolutely.
Were really big.
Right.
The Protestants were really big into the charismatic
movement. Yeah, I believe they would refer to it as Pentecostalism.
The Pentecostalism,
right.
Yes.
We use the word charismatic, they'd use Pentecostal. But, you know, it was the fellowship between Protestants and Catholic involved in the Spirit was just wonderful. It's just a taste of what it's going to be like.
Well, the common denominator is what? Is who? Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Father, you know, the whole nine yards. It was just, it's a wonderful experience to be able to cross lines like that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Deacon Bob. I'm going to kind of shift over to Renee. And so, Renee, briefly describe your background and who you are, how you came into the charismatic movement. But you also have a very good resume, you know, a track record. For example, there was an organization called Never Miss a Beat Foundation, and you were the vice president of that. What is that? And tell us about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a proud, blessed mom of two amazing sons. When you speak of the Never Miss a Beat Foundation, that was created by my son, Stephen, who was born with congenital heart disease. Mm. So he decided that he wanted to give back to kids that were less fortunate than him. Mm-hmm. And he created that foundation, and I've been the vice president. And basically, I coordinate all the fundraisers. He does mostly all the brain work, you know, mm-hmm. behind everything, promoting, and I do the legwork. So mm-hmm. we work as a team. My other son, Nicholas, also is on the board as well. Mm-hmm. So that's how that came about. And we raise funds and awareness for congenital heart disease at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
Oh, chop.
And mm-hmm. we also raise funds for families that are in need for kids that are sick at a Children's
wonderful.
Hospital.
Wonderful.
And toy drives.
So how many years have you been doing this?
About 7 years.
About 7 years. So. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And let me delve a little bit more and tell us about the JMC Compassionate Care Home Care Agency and how you were involved with it. And what is it?
So JMC was my home care agency that I started in 2008. What prompted me to do that was my grandmother, who was my everything. Mm-hmm. When she was dying of liver cancer, there was a lot of different people coming in and out that were caregivers, and that prompted me to start my own home care agency mm-hmm. so I could have there that people could have continuity mm-hmm. and so I did that for I just actually stopped doing that, ended my business at COVID so but it was quite a journey, and I love taking care of the elderly, so yes, that was my agency mm-hmm. and I got more involved with my son's foundation and been diving more into the church, which I absolutely love.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Now, Deb, tell us about yourself a little bit. I know you from St. Francis Cabrini Parish, which is my parish, which everybody knows because I say it every interview. And but we, on Wednesdays after Mass, there's a Bible study, and I see you attend as well, as does your brother from time to time, Tom Gallagher. What's a little bit about yourself, your life? You're very busy. So how'd you get into the charismatic movement?
Well, actually, in 2014, it was probably several months after my younger brother, the most beloved brother in my entire family by all siblings, had an overdose of fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten closer to the Lord previous to that, but still had not found a prayer group because I was unfortunately working too many hours, and I put business, I had a sales consulting business over God, except for I was a, what did they call it, a cradle Catholic, that mm-hmm. I still went to Mass and I still loved God, but I wasn't really giving him the time out of my home. And mm-hmm. when I ran into a good friend from high school, Mary Beth Rushforth, she had invited me to attend Deacon Bob's prayer group on Tuesday evenings, and I never stopped going. It was his wisdom and his humility and the group that really helped to change my life for wanting more of what they had.
Amen. Amen. All right, Deb, see, that was very easy, you know, because you spoke from the heart, and the Spirit is with us, you know.
Amen.
So thank you for that. Well, how long ago was that? I mean, where was that pivot point in your life?
Well, that was back in 2014 when my brother passed away, Patrick. And it was actually in 2005 that I had gotten stronger in my faith with my brother Tom coming back from Medjugorje, and my mother was dying. And he gave me all the books, and then I couldn't get enough of the books. So, yes, I really came back much closer in my heart for God, but I wasn't doing prayer groups. I was reading, watching TV, EWTN, but I really had no outside involvement other than going to Mass.
You were on the journey back or the journey home, not to plug a EWTN huge show.
Yes.
But yes, you were on your own individual journey, as we all are.
Yes.
So thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Deacon Bob, back to you. Well, tell our listeners how you got involved. I know when you got involved, but I mean, was there something in your life of a spiritual nature?
Yes.
Spirit drove you and led you to this?
Yeah, sure. I really had a very dramatic and kind of unique experience where the Lord revealed himself to me because I was totally lost and headed for eternal hell. I knew it, and I knew I couldn't get out of it. And so, you know, the Lord is just so gracious. And so sometimes he'll go anywhere to save somebody. And I was, I guess, one of those tough cases where he had to go all out. And he revealed himself to me, kind of like grabbed me by the back of my neck and pulled me out of the toilet and brought me into the light of his kingdom, which I didn't even realize existed. And from there on in, he brought people into my life who knew the Lord, who knew the scriptures, who were alive in the Lord that I never realized existed. Because I was living in a different dark part of humanity. I was living in a satanic part of humanity. Matter of fact, when the Lord appeared to me, he drove out dark spirits from me that shouted that he was coming when he, you know, came and came over to me. So it just was a change. And now I said to myself, oh my goodness, it's all real. Everything I was told is really true. And so from there, it was just looking for people, you know, who had that same experience or that same feeling of Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. Healings are real. You know, the work of the Spirit is real. It's not just something in a book. He touches you. He's alive. And that was the beginning, and he's never stopped.
Amen. Now, I heard something from Deb, because we were talking, something. What is I Saw Jesus? What is that? What is that all about? Is that your experience? Is that a book you wrote?
Yes, I Saw Jesus is a book that I wrote. And in it I documented, because it was really a remarkable experience and I knew it needed to be shared. So, and I documented the three paths that the Lord used to reconstruct my life. Because when I say I was broken, I was totally broken. So he used the charismatic renewal to give me experiential times with the Holy Spirit. He used the study of Scripture, Bible study. He just gave me a thirst for Scripture that I just couldn't satisfy.
Insatiable, right?
I would have pocket Scriptures in my jacket and go to the bathroom. I'd be reading Scriptures. You know, it was.
I had bought. Amen.
I got all these tapes and things like that. So, you know, so that was the second one. The third one was through marriage encounter, through developing my relationship with my wife and being able to share who I really was. Because one of the things that put me in this satanic prison was a lie, a world of deceit and a world of hiding. And I needed to find out how to really become truthful and how to express what was really in my heart, which was not easy. It took a lot of work. And fortunately, I was married to just a wonderful woman who I never realized how blessed I was. But she helped me come to a realization of being real, what love is really all about. You know, and So well, those three paths.
Is she Catholic? Was she
yes,
Catholic?
Yes, oh, she was Catholic.
And
yeah.
Were you raised in the Catholic Church?
I was. I went through Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, a couple years of Catholic college. I really was not. I just went through the motions, mm-hmm. you know.
As many Catholics do. Yeah. Absolutely. Many Christians do, but we're here in a Catholic radio station. But yes, we talk about the cradle Catholics, the fallen away Catholics, the lukewarms, whatever. But yes, I mean, it happens. It happens to us. I mean, life happens, and for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit and the Lord, you know, the Lord went after that one sheep.
Yep.
You know? Yep. His name is Bob.
Right? He was.
But he's done that for Dave.
Yeah.
And maybe Renee and maybe Deb. But that's how he works.
Yes, he does. Exactly. Yep. I saw him standing in the middle of a room with a whole bunch of other people. And he looked, I thought, like a caretaker. No beard. He didn't have long hair. He looked like an ordinary man, maybe in his 30s, 40. He looked stocky. Wasn't too tall. He looked like he was in charge. He was standing there in the room looking around, and I thought he was there to check out how things were going for our group. And mm-hmm. he was just looking all around, and then all of a sudden he started to come forward. And that's when I heard these shouts inside me that were my voices, but they were voices inside me saying, "He comes!" And they were scared to death. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I realized at that point who the He Comes was, that wow. it was Jesus. And he just looked very ordinary. He just, mm-hmm. but it was him.
Mm-hmm. So. Wow. Thank you, Deacon Bob. That's so powerful.
Yeah. I know.
I got chills and just thinking about that. And when was this?
Well, this happened in 1972. It was over at Rosemont College. I was on a marriage and kind of weekend. And interesting thing, you know, people were sharing their feelings. And there were a couple of people, in particular this one couple, Joe and Patty, that really impressed me. And especially Joe, he was able to really be honest and share, you know, how he felt, shared his weaknesses. And I'm thinking to myself, how does this guy do that? Open himself up like that in front of a whole bunch of people, you know. But then I started to I had a good BS detector in those days because that was in a master. And so I saw that he was really telling the truth.
Yeah.
And so I admired that and I wanted to be the same. So when they would give you little things to say, you know, share with your wife how you feel about this, how you feel about that, well, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I was so caught up in lies and deceit. The only thing I could think of was what can I say that would make me look good? Do you know what I mean? It couldn't be real. And I knew it couldn't be real. It was very frustrating. I was going through the whole weekend. Well, hey, this is really good. Everybody, my wife and I are really getting close, you know. It was a big lie, you know, until Sunday morning. The program was almost over when Jesus said, "Well, this guy's not getting it. I better get him."
Did he look at you and he with his fingers, he come here? Or
no,
I'm coming to you?
As a matter of fact, he started, he didn't walk the way you and I walk. He kind of like slid on the floor as if he was like on a skateboard.
Yes.
And so he came over me. Matter of fact, he came one row to my left. And if he had come right in the first row, I would have ran out the room because I was scared to death. But he came to the row on my left. And then when he was like one row in front of me, he then went diagonally and he came right into me. And I could feel his meekness, and I could feel his power. Mm. So it was so strong. And that's all. That's all he let me feel. And I just knew that who he was. I knew he was holy. I knew he was stronger than me. And I was dirt. So I said, "Leave me." And he did. He went back exactly the same way he came in. And he had his back to me. He was going up the aisles away from me. When the Holy Spirit, with Mary's intercession, said, "That was your opportunity to change." And I said, "No, don't leave me." And without turning around, he was now suddenly facing me.
Mm-hmm.
And he just came back the same way, sliding across the floor, and came right into me. And he's a perfect timing, because I was in my 30s, macho, big guy, and started to cry. But right then, in the front of the room, the couple said, "Okay, men, you can leave and go to your room." So I took my little notebook and put it up in front of my face so nobody could see me crying, and I ran out of that room. And I went up to the room, and they had a question, was, "Why do you want to go on living?" Well, really, I didn't want to go on living. And I used to be angry with God, and I said, "I never asked to be born or created. It was your idea, God. Why do I have to go to hell? just let me be erased. Just let me vanish. I don't want to exist. And that was my sincere prayer to God. But here it was, he gave me an opportunity to say why I want to go on living. And I wrote for 90 minutes, and the Lord would just shake me, and I could write the truth. And I wrote the first honest love letter to my wife I had ever done.
Oh, that's so
wonderful.
And
praise God.
Yes. Praise God.
You're
folks,
honest.
I'm speechless, and that's a lot.
I agree. <Yeah.
laughs> Deb knows me.
Yeah, but your honesty, Deacon Bob, is powerful.
Oh, it is. And your witness and your testimony.
Yes.
I know.
Thank you for sharing that with our Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners, we call them. Now, before we move on, I'm going to give a station ID. You're listening to WISP 1570 AM. Holy Spirit Radio in Doylestown and Philadelphia, and WCOJ 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County. And Deacon Bob, again, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm sure we can just go on that for a while, but I want to shift back to Renee.
Yes.
And her, you know, her story. Let's go to this next question I have. How long have you been in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement, Renee?
So I had a love for Jesus since I was little. And I was raised by my grandparents, and they didn't drive, but they taught me like all my prayers. I was raised Catholic. And then about 11 years old, someone drove me to a charismatic meeting at St. Michael's in Levittown. Mm-hmm. And when I walked into that building, the church basement, and I saw hundreds of people praising and worshiping God, their hands were in the air. Then they were praying in tongues, and there I was, 11 years old, going, wow, like, what is this? And I want this. I mean, mm-hmm. I love Jesus. And so that really just stuck with me. And I had met a woman that I know now today. So I know that Jesus was working back then, and he is today, Marie Guarano. She's part of the Charismatic Renewal as well.
Her name again?
Marie Guarano. I might be pronouncing it wrong because it's a difficult name, Bob. But is it Guarano?
Yes, Guarano is good.
Guarano
is
good. So she's been a part of the Charismatic, and she's at Holy Trinity. So I met her when I was very young, mm-hmm. and now she's back in my life right mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. like helping me. And so was Deacon Bob, thank God, with this healing mass and everything. So, but that being said, later on, I started reading, and the Book of Job always stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I wanted his faith. I didn't want all the bad things, but I wanted but I wanted his faith.
Well, you're normal.
Right? And I thought, oh, God, let me have a faith like that.
Yeah.
So I always went to church, when I could. Always went to church when I could. In fact, when I was young, I used to go with the neighbors because we all, there was no ride. So I'd knock on that door. I was the annoying child next door. Can I go with you? Because they all went as a family. So I thought, okay, here's that girl coming again. But through the years, I went through, I went to charismatic meetings, but it was St. Ignatius and Deacon Bob. Several years ago, I got back into it. And I have to be honest, if it wasn't for this amazing spiritual director who kind of just took me under his wing, answered all my questions, Deacon Bob, and the group there, like my St. Ignatius family, I am so blessed to have everyone there. And I just love that group. And so going through all of that, like through the years, and then coming back to St. Ignatius and just finding my home in that charismatic group, and being with Deacon Bob and everybody, and then the Holy Spirit just put on my heart, mm-hmm. have a healing mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. And that's usually what I listen to him all the time when he puts forgiveness on my heart. You need to write a letter to somebody. Like, if I can talk about a couple Holy Spirit encounters.
Moments, absolutely.
Difficult moments. We all have difficult times in our lives. And I remember one in specific and couple of them actually, but just going through a really hard time. And I remember going to different churches, and I would go to different Bible studies. And I remember driving on Humeville Road in my car, gripping my steering wheel, and I'm saying, you know what, Lord, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And I was in tears. I'm like, if I don't feel your presence, if you don't talk to me, I'm always annoying to them. Yeah. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to keep going to these Wednesday night mm-hmm. meetings and these church masses and services. Let me tell you, I went back on Wednesday night, and I sat there, and I was kind of like upset, numb, and expectant that something maybe would happen where I was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
as soon as the praise and worship was over, someone tapped me on the shoulder, and she said to me, God told me you weren't supposed to be alone. Come sit with us.
Wow,
and,
beautiful.
You know, and I get the chills even every time I think about it, because that was him. He knows, you know, I felt like Nathaniel under the fig tree. Like, it's like, he saw me. He saw my pain,
yeah,
and he was like, I'm coming, don't you worry.
Yeah. So, well, doesn't he see all?
He sure does.
Our pain, wow. I mean, each and every one of us, because he wants that relationship with us. He loves us so much.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. So,
and that's what we encourage with charismatic, as charismatics, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we, you know, try to encourage all the gifts that he wants to give us. And so the healing mass, you know, I wrote a scripture down. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I think that's what our mission is.
Mm-hmm.
So in a healing mass, I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. And wow, they're going to all these people are going to feel and experience some type of healing, whether it be spiritual, physical, mental, or a healing of forgiveness in a relationship for themselves or someone else. They're going to experience that. And don't we all need that in this world right now? We all need some type of healing.
Oh, we all do. Absolutely.
So, and then also the Holy Spirit put unity on my heart. And I was like this little soldier going out to non-Catholic churches everywhere just saying, this is about unity right now in our world. And that's how I felt.
I love that.
And I just was hoping to invite everybody. I said, this is about the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So,
well, thank you.
You're welcome.
There's something special about this healing mass that Renee put together, though. And I'd like to just make sure everybody hears about it, is that like some other healing masses you may have experienced, this one is also going to include the sacramental anointing of the sick.
Beautiful.
So three priests are going to be there, and they are going to, in the middle of our mass, are going to provide opportunity for those that are infirm or elderly or sick to experience the sacramental healing of the sick, as well as with the normal laying on of hands, which will happen as soon as the Mass is over, for the charismatic asking for the release of the Holy Spirit. So it's an opportunity that is maybe a little unique, because that's not usually done. It's to have both opportunities, to have both the sacrament and have the praying over by people involved in the Holy Spirit renewal is a great opportunity. So we're hoping that this broadcast you've graciously allowed us to put together will let that be known.
So that, it's and the if, Holy
and,
Spirit.
And so, right, so that if people...
And Deb Gallagher. Him working through her.
Amen to
that's
that.
Right.
All right, so it is it's just a wonderful opportunity, so we are excited about it. And
well, I have before me the flyer.
Yes.
And it's Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's the advertisement for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Mass and Healing Service. All are welcome on Friday, December 2nd, 2022, at 7 p.m. at St. Ignatius in Yardley, Pennsylvania, 999 Reading Avenue. And you mentioned three priests, but I have Father Chris Walsh will be the celebrant.
Right.
Who are the other two?
Father Kennedy and Father Ruby.
Okay.
All right. And Father Kennedy is another priest in our St. Ignatius parish, and Father Ruby is an adjacent parish over at St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And Father Walsh is he's the pastor at St. Cecilia's in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And well, he's well known, right?
Yes. He is so full of the Holy Spirit.
By telephone, mostly, because he's so busy.
Yeah,
and
so
he just
blessed.
Recently moved to that assignment over the, spring, summer, I think
so.
It was. Yes.
We're so blessed to have him.
And Father Walsh.
Father Walsh.
Yeah. Chris Walsh.
That's amazing.
Yes. I want to do a shout-out, because when you all came in, and one of your first question, after saying hello, kind of, was about Barbara Schinkel. And Barbara Schinkel, as our Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners know, you know, she has Walking in Faith, and she's been a part of this station for years and years, long before me. I came on board. I was a walk-on in 2013, and the coach hasn't yanked me yet. So, anyways, but I want to do a shout-out to Barbara Schinkel. I haven't seen her in a while, and Barbara, you're on our hearts and minds, and you know, we're praying for you. I know you're very busy with your family, and you have a lot going on, and I listen to your Walking in Faith as you know, do your shows, so just want to give you a shout-out. Anybody else want to? Well, Renee, you asked.
I did, because I've missed you, but I haven't been at Daily Mass for 2 weeks, so I don't know if you've been there, but I've been thinking about you, and I asked Dave if you were okay, and just wanted you to know you're in my thoughts.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you. Well, Deacon Bob, we have a couple minutes, but let me kind of get back to what I had here. The question I had was, how has the Holy Spirit been manifest in your life? But you basically explained that, all that, and you shared that with us, and that was so beautiful. But book is I Saw Jesus.
Right.
Is it in print now?
Yes, it is. Yeah, you can Google it. You can Google I Saw Jesus by Deacon Bob, or you can just Google the book I Saw Jesus, mm-hmm. and it'll come up. So.
Okay.
Or you can go on Amazon, you know, so it's available.
Well, okay. Right. Well, thank you.
Great. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. I was going to say, well, then what would you say to someone who's on the fence about becoming involved in the charismatic movement? I mean, there are many Catholics, and maybe the Spirit is, you know, pinging on them, I say, you know, like touching their hearts. And they know about this, not just through St. Ignatius, but they've heard of the charismatic movement. Yeah. What would you say to someone and invite them?
Right. A lot of really good Catholic people, when they first hear about the charismatic renewal, say, how come I never heard about this before? Because unfortunately, there was a time when the activity of the Holy Spirit wasn't as very pronounced. And that's really the function of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It's a matter of His timing. But the Holy Spirit has provided a renewal for the Catholic Church, recognized by the Vatican. And so it's a legitimate form. And charismatic renewals have gone on from time to time throughout the history of the Church, from one location to another. This particular renewal that we're involved in is a global renewal, which is sort of unique. It hasn't been global in the past, in the history of the Church. There have been places around the world where there were pockets of charismatic renewal that would go on and maybe last a generation or two and then start to peter off again. But this is a global renewal. So it does sound weird. We're so used to being so formal in the Catholic Church and just sitting, you know, and being quiet in our prayers.
And stoic.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
But what I would say is you just have to take a chance and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see what this charismatic life is all about. Jesus said when he was leaving, he said, "You, my disciples, you will do the same things that I did. And there will be healings, there will be signs, there will be wonders." And that has gone on through the Church always. It never really stopped. But now we're in the middle of a flourishing outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it's something to look at. Mm-hmm. You don't be turned away from it. You're going to hear people praying in tongues, and you're going to think, I never heard about that. But if you look in the Scriptures, you see in the Acts of the Apostles, which is really all about the falling of the Holy Spirit, you'll see that the early Church used that as a sign that people really had been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So that's one. But don't be afraid to be cautious and to be skeptical. It's all right. God knows your heart anyway, so you're not fooling anybody. He loves us so much. He takes us just where we are. And if He's calling you into the charismatic renewal, listen. Just listen to Him. Take a chance. Go see. You'll find people that are there that are filled with the Spirit, filled with love. And once you experience that love and see it, you'll know that it's real.
Mm-hmm. It's infectious.
Okay, it is. Well, Deacon Bob, so under the Archdiocese, isn't there an office of the charismatic
absolutely.
Renewal? And there's a woman who's in charge of that.
Gloria Coyne?
Yeah,
yes.
Gloria Coyne.
Yes.
And
she's a St. Ignatius person also.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would just director invite people to go to the Archdiocesan, website. I don't have it in front of me.
PhillySpirit.com, right? PhillySpirit.com.
Is it PhillySpirit.com?
Yep, I believe
okay,
so.
Okay, thanks, Renee.
You're
but
welcome.
If you want to find out more, as Deacon Bob invited you to do, you can do that. Do you feel comfortable giving out, a number? If anybody wants to contact St. Ignatius or it'd be Renee.
Sure.
Or Bob.
Yes. I'll give you my email number, right? So that's rjcs Robert John Charlie Sam, 1219 at Verizon.net. And I'd be glad to answer any questions you have about the Charismatic Renewal.
Okay, sure. Repeat that, please.
Sure. RJCS. R for Robert, J for John, C for Charlie, S for Sam, 1219 at Verizon.net.
Okay, well, thank you, Deacon Bob. And Renee?
Can I read this? It was something that Pope Francis said.
Absolutely.
Okay. Said, "You charismatic renewal have received a great gift from the Lord. You were born of the will of the Spirit as a current of grace in the church and for the church."
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to
wonderful.
Share that.
That's wonderful. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add to this wonderful interview?
Oh, we'd like to thank you, Dave, for giving us the opportunity to be here
welcome.
With you. And thank you for your graciousness and your hospitality. You made us all feel very comfortable.
Okay.
And
sure
you're good at what you do.
Well, thank you.
Sure are.
thank you
so much, Dave.
Well, again, it's the Holy Spirit.
Sure it is. Right.
And, but again, the Holy Spirit is real.
Mm. Amen.
You just invite him into your life.
Yes.
And ask and just say, you know, take me over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us, something I like to say is like, I try to think of this all the time. I want to decrease, just increase in me and just put me where you want me.
Yes.
You know, let me do whatever you want for me. You've given me, you know, charisms or gifts. We all have gifts. So we need to discover those.
Yes.
And work for the Lord, work for eternity.
Yes.
Right.
And thank you, Deacon Bob, for coming up and Deb Gallagher and Renee Serby. Thank you for, you know, coming to Holy Spirit Radio on this blustery cold day.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Let's close in a prayer for all who are listening.
I was going to ask Deacon Bob and then, okay, Deacon Bob, take it away.
Okay, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this opportunity to talk about what you do, about your love, about who you are, and about the reality of all of your gifts and how you just bring good people together. And so, Holy Spirit, we want to turn our attention to all those that have heard through this gift of radio, all that have heard about you, about your love, and about your power, and about your healing, and about your grace. Touch them, Holy Spirit, all who are by themselves, especially those that are lonely, especially those that are wondering, especially those that are doubtful, someone who may have turned in to the radio accidentally today. Lord, you speak to them. Thank you for bringing us all together into the body of Christ. Thank you for this opportunity to be your instruments. Thank you for using us to putting your words in our mouth and in our minds. Thank you for these people, Lord. We put them all under the care of our Blessed Mother as we all pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you, Deacon Bob. Thank you, Renee, and thank you, Deb. This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio and the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. Thanking you for listening, and God bless, and I'll talk to you later.